within the structure of all the ups and all the downs. And yet they persevere because of that great faith, that great love that they share with one another. They teach us how to do those things. This morning we celebrate our Master of the Repose of the Soul of Gerald Shimmershein. Let's begin our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, who sent his Son Jesus into the world to save us and to redeem us, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you. As we come before the living God, let's take a moment to call to mind our sins, asking our God for pardon and the gift of his peace.
I confess
to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my faults. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill.
Reading from the book of Genesis.
just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Abram put his faith in the Lord, credited to him as an act of righteousness. The Lord took note of Sarah, as he said, he did for her as he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time that God had stated. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, his, whom Sarah bore him. The word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he received the power to generate, even though he was well past the normal age. And Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, whom he had received the promises, was ready to offer his only son, whom it was said,
Moses, the promise of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare in sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thought of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with a husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Dear friends, today we celebrate the Holy Family, baby Jesus, Mother Mary, and her husband Joseph. And we look to that beautiful family, very simple family, and all the different ways that they can teach us about family life. And as we all know, family life is not easy. There's not always great conflict, there's not always great harmony between parents, children, grandchilren, or grandchildren and grandparents, or whatever. Oftentimes there's battles going on there. And it's very easy within a family structure to fall into that me, myself, and I, just satisfying my own needs, what I need for myself. And that's probably the greatest sorrow that many parents have brought to me over the years, is how they do not see their own children or grandchildren continuing in the Catholic faith tradition. And so we have to look to that Holy Family in all of its fullness, what we've heard today, because God does value families a lot. We heard that from the first reading on. He wants family life to thrive, so much so that he sends his own son into a family to be raised and be educated, because as we all know, parents are our first educators. They're our first teachers. And so when we think back, now most of us here, over the age of 18 to 21, we can think back of all the different things that we learned in family life. Now some of them are very wonderful and joy-filled, and there's also some sorrows in that as well. But we learn it right there in our own homes. We hear things, we see things, we experience life in its fullness, really in the context not only to take on our flesh and bone through the incarnation, but he wanted that experience of family life as well, in all of its learning moments, all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I'm sure he was privy to all of that. Life 2,000 plus years ago was not easy. Family life was not easy. Just putting bread on the table could be a great struggle if you didn't have some sort of a profession, some sort of work. And so Jesus was privy to all of those things. And that's how he was raised, and that's how he grew in wisdom and in knowledge. And then a couple different times that those words are salt and pepper into the sacred scripture. Jesus did grow from that little infant, the babe over here in the manger, that we placed there about a week ago. And he grew from that little baby to a toddler, to a child, to an adolescent, to a young man, and finally a full-grown adult. And through all of those life stages, Jesus grew in wisdom and in knowledge of the world through family life. We stop to think about that. It's pretty incredible. Now, what we heard today in the gospel text in particular is what moment of Jesus' life. What do we call that moment? What we heard in the gospel story today. The presentation, right? So Mary and Joseph are bringing the child to the temple. Why? To complete the law of the Lord. I think it was repeated there two or three times. That they're very observant Jews. Mary and Joseph are Jewish, they're not Catholic. They are Jewish, believe it or not. I got in trouble with St. Michael and Philip for saying that, but Jesus is a Jew. Holy, he took his cast on him, grabbed him by the ear, and said, how can you say that? Well, he was born a Jew, he lived a Jew, he died a Jew, he rose again a Jew. He never left that behind, but he fulfilled that Jewishness by his own person. But that's another story. Anyway. Alright, so Mary and Joseph, very observant Jews, bring Jesus to the temple. Now, why is that ironic? Well, Anna's there, prophetess, good, okay, and she takes the child and praises God. We don't know exactly what she said. We know that by observing her, she was giving praise and honor and glory to God. Who else is there? Simeon. All right, a prophet of his own right. All right, and he too takes the child in his arms and blesses God for this child. Let's go back to the question. Why is bringing Jesus to the temple ironic? One more time, Vicky. Bringing God into the temple. Is Jesus God? Yes. Don't hesitate on that one. Don't hesitate. Remember what we say in the creed. Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. There is the definition of Jesus. Right there. He truly is God. God with us, Emmanuel. Okay? That's Jesus, and he is God. Right? We think of God the Father, God the Son, who becomes in his incarnation Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three divine persons, one God, by their divinity being shared among all three persons. Okay? That's absolutely critical for understanding here of what's going on in that presentation. So Mickey hit the nail on the head. Mary and Joseph are bringing God from God, light from light, true God from true God, into God's house, into the temple. Why is that significant? Why is that so significant? Alright, they're bringing in the humanity of that God from God, light from light, true God from true God. They're bringing that humanity with them, okay? What else? Let's build on that. That's good. That's a good starting point. Let's build on that. Doing what God asks them to do. Doing the holy will of God, no matter what. Now, at that moment, did Mary and Joseph know the fullness of Jesus' divinity? No. Remember, when was that moment first revealed to Mary? We heard it a couple different times here during Advent. When was that first moment that Mary realized that the child would be holy, the Son of God? At the Annunciation. There she was, that young girl, you know, bringing water from the well, sweeping the floor, preparing some food. Who knows what Mary was doing at that moment? Very ordinary day, which became extraordinary because she was visited by the Archangel Gabriel himself, inviting her to be the Mother of God. That's where we get that title. It is from God himself, the child will be holy, the Son of God. Thus that makes Mary the Mother of God. We just didn't dream that up. It comes right from Scripture itself. Right? And Mary was a very important person, a very important element in all of that. She needed to exercise her freedom to be able to say yes to God's wish, to say yes to God's desire that she and she alone bear his Son where? In the world, exactly. Jesus wasn't born in heaven. He was born right here on planet Earth. Right here. And so, that eternal logos of God, that word of God, that utterance of God, comes down and takes on our humanity without losing any of his divinity and taking on all of our humanity. That's all we can say. Jesus truly is 100% divine God, and he's 100% and is woven together in such a way that it's impossible for any of us, the greatest theologians, to try over time to tease out, well, what portion is God, what portion is man? And he cannot. Because he is fully God, fully man, in one divine person, Jesus Christ. Okay. So, Mary and Joseph bring God, Jesus Christ, into God's house. Because what happened to Israel over time? Remember the prophets were always calling back Israel for what? Moment. Away from sin. Okay, so they're calling Israel away from sin and back to the law, God's favor. Exactly so. And so Jesus, by his person, restores divinity to the temple. What had been lost in all of the different ups and downs of the relationship between God and Israel, Jesus brings that in person to the temple. Remember, both Simeon and Anna had awaited the coming of the Messiah, who were waiting for the restoration of, Israel. They're waiting for that restoration. And of course, Simeon is the first to see baby Jesus. He takes him from Mary's arms and blesses God because God had promised him. They do a great promise to Simeon. What was the promise that God made to Simeon? He would not die. He would not see death until his own eyes saw the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior of Israel. And so he takes that child and he blesses God and says, "Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace, for I, my own eyes have seen your salvation." He sees in the person of the baby Jesus that divinity. He knows that God is back in God's house. And Anna's not far away. She also sees the child and gives praise and thanksgiving and honor to God. She takes that child in her arms. Now remember, she's an older lady there. She was married for how many years? 7 years married. And how old was she at that moment? 84. How many years a widow? 84 minus 7. 77 years that woman had been in the temple night and day awaiting the coming of the Savior. That wish was fulfilled in the baby Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly what she said, but but we can imagine that praise, honor, glory going up to our God. And God, and through the Holy Family, now Mary and Joseph are there, and they're very, very observant Jews. They were there to fulfill the law. But what did they receive in return? Blessings, abundant blessings, okay? What else? What knowledge and wisdom did they glean from both Simeon and Anna? All right, acknowledgement that the Messiah is indeed born in the world. Exactly so. And this child will be a challenge, and still is, right here at the end of 2023, or the cusp of 2024, Jesus Christ is still a challenge. Why? What is that child's prediction that he will be? They say the child will be a contradiction in the world. He will be the rise and the fall of many. I think it actually the original words are the fall and the rise of many, which is an odd way to put that. This child will be the fall and the rise of many. Right? So some people he's going to take down, and other people he's going to lift up. It isn't just the same across the board. Not all apples are all oranges, but that's what that means. So what is it about Jesus coming into that temple? What's that contradiction? He is the new covenant. And that covenant is going to be lived out and executed, realized, where? On the cross, by the bloodletting of that babe, 33 years later, he's going to take on the sins of the entire world, both his divinity and his humanity, nailed to the cross. And that will not be the end of the story, because he will also rise again. He will suffer, he will die, he will rest in the tomb, and he will rise again. The same babe that was born in the manger is going to be the same babe that goes out and teaches and preaches and heals and performs wonderful miracles and invites people to believe in him. What we heard in that second reading today. What do Abraham have to begin the grief? Faith. He had faith in the God who was asking him to do these things, even though it might be going against his own will. Does Jesus always fulfill the Father's will? Yes, he always fulfills the Father's will, and he teaches us how to do the same. In order to do that, we have to set aside me, myself, and I. There's no me, myself, or I in Jesus. He's all about us. It's all about the team, you and me. And he shows that time after time after time, marvelously so, in his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, and glorious ascension into heaven, opening that doorway that babe 33 years before, now re-entering his heavenly homeland, and opening that door to you and to me. So that we might be reunited as a family, a Christian family, where? In heaven. What binds us together as family? Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, all seven sacraments, the Word of God itself, sacred scripture, and each and every one of us. As you and I, as a family, are invited to imitate Christ and be Christ in the world, beginning in our home, among our families, in our workplace, in our school, out on the street, wherever we are, you and I are invited to bring that Christianity to life as a family, right here on planet Earth. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. friends are invited to stand. It's a good moment in the night.
Hey, what's great is that beautiful. In one voice, we say, I give you the blessing of God, the Father of the Almighty, Maker and Creator of all things invisible and invisible. I believe in the one who is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father. company of the choirs of angels, we praise you, and with joy we proclaim. Brothers, the mystery of faith. Departed brothers and sisters, and to all who teach you your happiness and your life, give kind of
behold him who takes away the sins of the world, and blessed are his called for the sake of the Lamb.
Yeah.
whatever.
Let us pray.
Bring those you refreshed with this heavenly sacrament, most merciful Father, to imitate constantly the example of the Holy Family, so that after the trials of this world, we may share their company forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated just for a moment. God's important announcement. your name, O Lord, for sending your own incarnate Son to become part of a family, so that as he lived his life, he would experience his worries and his joys. We ask you, O Lord, to protect and watch over our families here at St. Joseph's Parish, so that in the strength of your grace, its members may enjoy prosperity, possess the priceless gift of your peace, and as the church alive in the home, bear witness in this world to your glory. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and